Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta tell what I said. I gotta talk about my life as I see.
Welcome.
You just tuned into the
T-Hour
Show.
And it is the biggie. It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip-hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, Man Cabbage, packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghost writing, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm precise. When I'm writing, took the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, like them bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Brave and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.
Hopefully all is well. It is your girl, Ray Cole, on Indie Up Saturday, the Hour Network. And holding it down with me tonight is my cousin, Nakita. How you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing okay. A little irritated, but, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes. But for the most part, I'm okay. Went to the gun range for the first time, you know, shot a gun for the first time. It was a little scary, but I did it, and, you know, hey, I live to tell the story. Yes. Okay, so tonight, we got a few interviews going on. We're going to be talking to Young Na and Doye this evening. Pretty much, yeah, chopping it up with them, listening to some sounds, some vibes, and got some hot topics that I know me and my cousin can't wait to get into. So what we're going to do now is we're going to play a few records, okay, or whatever, spin a few tracks, however you want to say it, and we'll be right back in a few. So sit back, relax, and, yeah, just, you know, have a blast on us. All right, here we go. It's courtesy, Feeling Like a Star.
Labels put me in the dark, now I'm the monster that they fear. But I'm good, I'm
good. My money's up to par, and I'm closer to my dreams, but I'm still looking far. I'm somewhat in a pickle, cause I'm sitting in a jar. And every time I'm lost, I just look up in the stars. Like, they know who we are. Every time we hit the club, we know we by the bar. We know we're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You closer to earth, and I'm closer to Mars. I'm feeling like a star.
Memo. See, I'ma tattoo all this in my needles, all the ammo. Hoes get the dick, and niggas get the shotty. And I don't give a fuck, I'ma eat my whole body. They telling me I should just stay in my department, but I'ma get in it like the keys to the apartment. Wow, baby, I'm a star, hella close to the planet. I'm just trying to make niggas of it, Super Bowl Janet. So welcome to flight school, take off departure. Freestyle sound like it came off the Carter. Victory so close, I can taste it. Hoes infatuated, rappers get violated. Starstruck pupils dilated. Yeah, that's what they telling me. Now it's made box and Bugatti, that's what they telling me. Every day's a hustle, getting closer to the fame. Reiterating the fact, making dollars is my name.
Like stars, they know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. We know we're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth and I'm close to Mars. I'm feeling like a star. I'm feeling like a star and the name that you should mention. Slow money is no money that you should mention. Especially when that slow money's looking like a pension. I ain't on no hater shit. I would burn Gucci cause I stick to my skater shit. Beanie and some skinny jeans, I always be my favorite. I pray for it. Sunshine State. Yeah, boy, cause I be on my gator shit. I call my dude loud for heat and love some carry drive. Red hat, gave me face, call it carry top. And all my niggas on it crying like we at the spot. Know why you mad, cause my team everywhere.
Yeah, this money to be made, so I ain't gone sleeping. Clubs pay good for them shows on the weekend. Feeling like a star, Candy Kush, I be cheaping. Presidential suite in every house that we live in.
Feeling like a star, cause they know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. You know we're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth and I'm close to the Mars. I'm feeling like a star.
Gentlemen, welcome to the city of bright lights, the only city with a microphone in the sky, Dallas. Real music. I go by the name of Bebe, aka Mr. A Bebe, aka Mr. I Say Popping Tags, BKA the Governor by 20. Allow me to introduce y'all to my homie, D Chavo. The best that ever did it and got away with it.
And shining stars, everybody round town, they know who we are. Top shelf, nigga, ain't nothing but me regular. Cutting $1 million gears up on that cellular. Flashy lifestyle, close your eyes and picture me. Pushing foreign V's and rocking Christian Louis V's. Street approved, so I rock and rep that silverback. I even got some 28s up on that Maybach. Sipping pina colada, eating something that's proper. Spanish girl on my lap, she be calling me papa. She be draped in that Prada, love that when I'm inside her. I tell her ain't no outer, she love me like a father. I'm the Chavo, man, that means money, man. It ain't for me in a week to spend $100,000. Please believe me, man, I seen it, homie, done it all. I'm a true definition of a real boss.
When life is all, high for the done. Call me young boss for all the shit that I run. Ready for the world, earth, wind, and fire. 5-year run, now the kid can retire. Ball like the best, I'm a true all-star. Jumping out fresh, people know who we are. Call me hood rich and I take it how it come. Blue and white diamonds got me shining like the sun. Taking vacations, 7 days on the ocean. Bad Brazilian rub me down with the lotion. Live every day like it's probably my last. Can't take the with me so I blow money fast. Diamonds and pearls for my precious little girl. My eat greedy get to fly across the world. Everything free and it's all on me. Just the life and bright lights is all I can see. She.
I'm the word around town, but I don't hear it cause I'm downtown underground. Eating 5-star meals, trying to gain a couple pounds with a 5-star chick, sipping wine a couple rounds. The bartender sexy, she feeling my style. I'm feeling the smile and I think that she may be wild. I'm hardly ever nervous, I stay in front of a crowd. People looking at me funny, it may be cause of the loud. Kush cologne scent, they're pushing long scent. Say what you want about me, you can put your own print. Instead of speaking out, I'd rather let the song vent. It take the right amount of words and not the wrong content. The weather feel good, temperature quite right. You really wanna see the city take a night flight. So you can see the different colors like a night bright. We call it the triple D, big builders and bright lights.
Yes. We are back. The Hour Network Indie Up Saturday. I am your girl, Ray Cole. Holding it down with me is my cousin, Nikita, the Black Russian. That was just D. Shabo, Bright Lights. I like the beat, like the harmony on that song. That was pretty cool. So, yeah,
nice flow.
Yeah, it flowed. Like, that's something you could just kind of let ride, you know? But,
that's a riding
yeah.
beat, like when you're going down the coast or on the weekend, you know, it's a nice day out. Yeah, I'd roll to that.
And feeling good in more than one way. Mm-hmm. We ain't going to get into that one, though. No, I'm joking. But, yes, so our first topic is kind of kind of linked from last week's topics about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Me and my cousin can't get enough of them.
A continuation.
Yes, I like that word, continuation. Okay, yes. So, Cordell Stewart embarrassed by ex-wife Portia Stewart's reality TV fight. It says, let's see, this is from Radar Online Reports. Actually, I got it from Bossip, but I guess that's where they stole it from. But anywho, consider any hopes of...
Not
are you
so home?
Referred by yes. So pickpocket.
Moving on, people.
Moving on. And scene. Okay. Consider any hopes of a reunion between Cordell Stewart and Portia Williams dashed. RadarOnline.com has learned that the former NFL pro wants nothing to do with his ex-wife after she violently attacked the Real Housewives of Atlanta star Kenya Moore on national television. Cordell is distancing himself from Portia now more than ever, a pal told Radar. According to that, he's embarrassed for her. During their marriage, he thought Portia acted inappropriately to get ratings for the show and wasn't a good role model. Ooh. for his son. The source said, her fight on
don't
national
pump up his statement, please.
I have to. Look, I know you are, and I'm about to let you get him, girl. I'm about to let you get him. Anyway, her fight on national TV proves that. After seeing the reunion brawl, the former football star is glad to have put his ex-wife's antics behind him and to be living a quieter life without reality TV cameras, according to the source. When Carter allowed Bravo into his life, it went against everything he stood for, the friend explains. He is a very private person, but compromised for fame-hungry Portia. As Radar previously reported, Williams found out Stewart had filed for divorce via Twitter in March 2013. Then after a month-long battle in court, the pair's divorce was finalized in December. The details of the split have since become public, and William will receive zero stingy with De Niro's. Nada. Anyways, following the split, Cordell was briefly linked to Wanda Braxton, a report he later denied, but his friend said he isn't ready to settle down. He is focusing on the son, said the friend. And that's where I'm going to cut it off. So go ahead. What you got, girl? Where are we going to start? Where are we going to dissect first?
Well, once again, me and you agree, and according to lots of commentary, that we all understand that grown folks should not be fighting. However, when someone continues to be pushed and prodded, shit happens, okay?
Yes, so, sir. Ma'am, sorry.
It's okay. I do sound like a man when I wake up in the morning, but I hope it's not one of these times.
You never sound like a man. You got like the squeakiest voice ever. You and my sister, yeah.
Okay, moving on, people.
You say whatever with the squeaks.
But I'm just going back to Cordell. First of all, you're an ex. No one was expecting you to get back together. So for you
right.
to come out and, oh, you compromised yourself to be on reality TV, well, why don't you stay out the public now, sir? Nobody cares what you think about what Portia did, sir. And why are all these men on Kenya's side? I mean, what is going on? Cordell,
I know.
Apollo, I mean...
Even Peter was shaking vibes with her.
Well, yeah, because he let her twerking on him, so obviously he didn't have a problem while his wife was sitting in the back. Remember when they were on the
put that balloons, as Portia said. Put the balloons all on Peter.
And I just do not understand why he needs to speak out. Now, granted, I can see if you're having a discussion to kind of clarify some statements that have a direct impact on you, homosexuality. However, this is not
right,
one of those
right.
cases. So shut the hell up. Who cares, Cordell? Nobody wants you.
Ooh.
And I'm going to leave it at that and let you go on.
Well, I mean, I think in all fairness, I mean, granted, like you said, you guys are no longer together. You know, maybe he's not quite over it. Maybe that's why he's still commenting or maybe somebody just took this information and ran with it. But, I mean, in all fairness, she kind of did shoot the gun first, just a little bit. Like, I mean, with the whole gay situation, like, I mean, granted, if that's how you felt, why did you marry him? Like, I'm not, me personally, I don't have nothing against gay men. I love gay men. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't marry a gay man, you know what I'm saying? Or if I thought that was somewhere in your DNA, I don't want no part of that. You know what I'm saying? I want a man that want the ooey gooey, not, you know, like, that's all I'm like, if that's a question mark, like,
in the ocean, yes.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want nobody that's, like, you know, that I have to worry about catching in the bed with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying, if I catch you in the bed with, you know, I mean, like, what do you do if you catch your man in the bed with another man? I'm just going to shake your hand and say, I'm happy that I found out this information so I can be free and move on with my life. But you're right. It do seem like a lot of people are kind of like Team Kenya. Well, the men are, at least. I mean, granted, she wasn't right at all for the beatdown. You know, but like you said, if you keep picking at something and keep picking at them, eventually they're going to... is going to let you have it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to let you... She got what she came for. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to fight.
I don't see Kim having anything to say on this issue. Especially for someone, as part of his statement, says that he went on reality TV as a compromise. You're no longer with her anymore, so you're no longer required to compromise yourself, sir. So shut the hell up and let Portia ride. If it's embarrassing for her, let her stay embarrassed. You no longer need to attach yourself to her. You didn't give her any money, so you really don't have anything to say. Kick her out the house and file for divorce on Twitter, but you're compromising yourself by going on reality TV, but yet you put your business out on social media. He's contradicting himself. I have no respect for Cordell. Moving on, people, and scene.
Uh-oh.
That's all I
wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
I hear the irritation in your voice. It's like that N-word.
Well, I mean, let your actions and your words support one another. You know, have integrity.
Right.
Don't take pot shots at her. You know, if you don't like what she said about you, I respect you for addressing it. But this has nothing to do with you, sir. You've cut your ties with her, sir. So move on. That's all I'm saying.
Well, not only that, to say that you don't think that she was good for your son, like, that's a dig. Yeah, that's kind of a dig. Like, how long did it take you to realize that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, as soon as they did the reality show, they were, like, on the brink of divorce. I mean, like, however long were they together? Like, 3 years? 3-4 years or something?
Yeah, it wasn't that long. But it was long enough for him to put a ring on it, move her in the house, to get on reality TV, to start the public humiliation by putting their divorce on Twitter. I'm not quite sure. I'm not a personal friend of either one of them, but I don't know if Portia would have reacted the way she did and said the things she did if he hadn't started the humiliation. So it kind of brings me back in line with what Kenya's doing. Had Kenya not continued to humiliate her and bring the prompts and minimize her as a person, she wouldn't have got that ass tap like she did. I mean, or the hell pull and drag. I don't know. I'm just assuming. But what do I know? What did the audience think? That's what I'm interested in.
You said, what are your thoughts, listening audience? Yeah. that's smooth, Nick. Smooth.
Okay.
Yes, I like that. Oh, I like that. But, no, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Like, I didn't even think back to, like, you know, he kind of did start it. I mean, you took it to Twitter. You know, or you took the details. Because if you look back at the first season, like, Portia was trying, like, to be a decent wife, seemingly. Like, cause when all of them were talking about going to the strip club, she was like, well, you know, I can't be a part of that, you know, because, you know, Cordell wouldn't approve of it. And, you know, and it seemed like she really did value what he said to her. But, I mean, he seemed like a little controlling, you know, and maybe...
Right.
Maybe he went that way when they first got together, but you know how people get you. They get you on lockdown and think they can tell you what to do.
Interesting with the Real Housewives of Atlanta, because in so many different scenarios, the question of loyalty, hence Nene's bashing of Cynthia on Watch What's Happening Live, questioning her position, but all the way around with Candy and her mother, and then her mother questioning Carmen and Todd, then you have Cynthia and what happened when she was getting married to Peter, and what her mother and her sister did with the certificate, and you know, Mallory is always brought up everything Cynthia said to Peter, so I don't know where that sibling loyalty is. And obviously,
right.
Kenya has no friends, and, you know, yeah. I think she got Brandon beat down, so I'm sorry, Brandon. I don't think she's loyal to you.
Yeah, like you said, she said you whooped that ass whooping.
But look, what's his name? Lawrence was smart. He said, I'll go, but he didn't have nothing to do with the foolery. He said, I'll have my drink and eat, but
I'm going to wear my dress. Lawrence looked like he'll beat somebody down, though. Like, he might wear that lipstick in them heels, but don't get it twisted. He looked like he
was. Oh, I ain't taking that from him. All I'm saying is he ain't going to put himself in harm's way over no Kenya Moore. He seen what happened to Brandon.
Hey, you, Brandon, say you come on, Kenya. You straight. We free. But bitch, you be into too much.
He all fashion queens. He got to keep the face together. He ain't got time for the black eyes and the lumps in the head and everything.
Right.
But just a question of loyalty all the way around. And I don't know. I'm not just saying this through Atlanta show. I mean, it's all the way around the reality show. Reality just, I don't know, it's just more, I don't know, focused now on the Housewives of Atlanta, and I don't like it.
And Cordell, stay out of it.
Just
keep
not
you
adding
business.
Anything to it. Yeah. Mr. Mayor.
Well, not only that, my thing is, what I don't like about people is when they get with somebody, and then after they leave them, now you want to air out. Oh, you want to speak bad about them? Yeah, like, if they were that bad during the situation, why did you say, why didn't you get divorced soon? And not only that, like, I didn't read this part, but this was the end of it. It said he's focusing on his son. The friend said when he's ready to get serious, he wants a woman who will be a good role model to his son. He's looking for someone who is driven, intelligent, and can take care of herself. So sounds like he doesn't want anybody that he's going to have to really break bread with like that.
Well,
think about that.
I mean, that's all fine and dandy, excuse me, because I think those are qualities anybody should want in a potential mate that they marry and a potential parent for their child. However, please, I want you to be that first. I don't think he's being a good role model right now.
Say you not there. How you gonna ask for something you ain't doing?
That's all I'm saying. I mean, it just seems a little testy to me. All these statements he's making, all this bashing he's doing on a woman, I don't care if it is her ex, I think he needs to pull back and show some class if that's what he wants. Because I would be nervous if I got with him, one, not only because of the charges that's been brought up, not only by her, you know, they've been surfaced it from other people for a long time before her, in addition to that, so he needs to be, you know, slow his roll and talking on that, but also just because he continues to bash his ex, and I don't like that with anybody. If you continue to talk bad, I'm not saying you don't need to reflect, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you know,
but reflect
just,
in private. Don't put my stuff out there. You get what I'm saying? Don't put me out there like that. Like, reflect in the comfort of your own home, please and thank you. Like, that's just not, you know what I'm saying? That's just not where it's at. Yeah,
exactly.
Don't do me that way. You know, but you know, that's just how they get down on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm going to be in there fist pumping with Undie. But yes. Okay, so what we're going to do here, we're going to spin the track and we're going to get it in with our first interview when we get back. So let's listen to some Cast Me Out of the Loop. Here we go. D.I., we're ending up Saturday. Ray Cole, Nikita the Black Russian. Here we go.
I admit I live a busy life. I can be a little preoccupied. I decided that I need a break. Gonna do things differently. Cause I only get one life. So why should I passing me by. Steady hearing everybody's problems, bending backwards, even trying to solve them. But it's weighing heavy on my mind. Time to step away so I can handle mine. I only get one life, so why should I stress and be uptight? I'm gonna let my little light shine.
A new dress, new shade, new purse, a new me.
Around you, that's what we're here for. We're here to give, you know. But at the end of the day, you gotta make sure that you're okay. It's a brand new day.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back. The Hour Network, Indie Up Saturday. That was Cast Me Out of the Loop. She said she's going to let her little light shine, and I ain't mad at a girl because I plan to do the same damn thing. Okay. So our first interview for tonight, for this evening, depending on where you at in the world. Okay. Young Na was born on May 26, 1989, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He first began his rap career at the age of 18 when he was signed to the John Whitehead Foundation's independent label, the Key of E Entertainment Group. While at the Key of E, Young Na performed on a citywide high school tour called Put Down the Guns and Pick Up the Mic. Around this time, he started to gain interest from major record labels until the Key of E disbanded. After leaving the Key of E, Young Na began working independently until he was approached by Nicole Mayo, the founder of Artist First Entertainment and a former manager of the Key of E, about joining her Artist First imprint. After recording a few songs under the new company, Young Na and his team started to notice an unusual change in his voice. During a trip to the doctor, it was discovered that he had a lump in his vocal cords. In an effort to avoid surgery, Young Na was sent to a vocal specialist and was put on a strict diet. After those methods failed, he was taken into surgery on August 23rd, 2011, and after 3 weeks of resting his voice, he returned to hip-hop sounding better than ever. After doing a few guest verses for other artists, he began to work on his first solo project entitled Walk With Me, which is entirely produced by Baltimore up-and-coming producer Diesel on the track. Ladies and gentlemen, divas and hustlers, and all that. Let's give a warm D Hour Indie Up Saturday welcome to Young Na. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Yeah, feeling great. Feeling great. How is it in Philadelphia right about now?
It's always sunny in Philadelphia. We living good.
Okay. I might have to leave the Midwest and things and make my way out there, huh? But Hey, one of these days I'm gonna get my wings and I'll be able to fly. But right now I got to do a bid.
Well,
enough about me.
I'm up the street in D.C.
Yeah.
My girl's from Philadelphia, so I've been up there quite a bit. Yes, Philadelphia in the house.
Yeah.
Boogie fist. Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead and swan dive over into this interview. First off, I want to thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Tell us about your name and what it means and what it represents to you.
To be perfectly honest, like, I choose the name because it's relatively frivolous. Now, I mean, like, it's an abbreviation of my first name, which is Naeem. And the reason I use the Young Na is because, like, it's like a pleasant surprise, because when you hear people whose name is Young, usually they aren't that lyrical. So I use that just on me, just because I don't really pay too much mind to the name. It's like, what can you do on the mic? That's my biggest concern. So I just use that.
Okay. I like the Young, because I hate when people put little in front of their name and then they grow up. You know, like, Young is really more about how you feel, but when it's little something, it's like, dude, you ain't little no more, you grown-ass man. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely, yeah, Young, I like that, Young. Okay. All right, so what influences your music or, you know, your style of music? Like, who inspires you?
Like, all hip-hop inspired me. Like, all genres of music inspired me, honestly. Like, from rap music to rock music to gospel, and I'm inspired by it all. But, like, because I got a love for music.
Okay.
I can't pinpoint one.
You can't pinpoint one? Okay. Who would be at the top of the list? Like, for me, it would be Whitney Houston. Like, ain't nobody outdo Whitney in my book. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's that one person.
It'll be Tupac.
Okay, that name comes up a lot around here. Yeah, Tupac comes up a lot around these parts. Maybe it's an 80s baby thing. I don't know. People that grew up in the 90s, yeah, we much love Tupac. Okay, how do people tell you, or who do people tell you sound like? Is there any particular artist that they compare you to?
Like, honestly, no. Like, I never really got any artist comparisons. Like, I don't know why, but usually not.
Okay. I mean, hey, it's like that sometimes. That's making your own lane, so ain't nothing wrong with that. Nikita, you got any questions you want to throw into the pot?
Yes. I would like to know, what is your influence behind your actual raps when you're writing?
What's
your inspiration?
Honestly, no matter, first, like, once I hear the beat, like, whatever the beat called for, I try to build on that. And usually when I'm writing a song, I take a situation and probably either exaggerate it a little bit or speak on that situation. Like, it's just like, I mean, I love to write, first of all. And, like, so doing music is just natural because I got this love for music, I got a love for writing. So it's just a natural flow. Like, my inspiration is just basically the music.
Okay, do you have any particular topics that you kind of gravitate to, or is it just what's happening in the world, or is it pulling from your past experiences or your future endeavors?
Like, it's all that. Like, I talk about all that. Like, I don't like to stick to one thing because it gets boring. It's like, what's the point of keep writing the same rap? You feel me? Like,
right.
So I just talk about whatever comes to mind, whatever I feel when that beat come on. That's what I'm gonna talk about. And if I feel like I've done that beat already, I won't do the beat.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay. Now, I definitely feel you because I too write and do music. So, I mean, I normally listen to what the music is saying to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what words or what emotions is this beat pulling out of me? You know what I'm saying? So I feel you on that one. Okay. I saw that you had, you know, or as I was reading your bio, of course, that you had a lump on your vocal cords, you know, and that you had to go through some, you know, some things with that situation. What other obstacles have you had to face as an up-and-coming artist?
Oh, man, like freaking changes in management, label deals falling through, like a lot of different stuff. Like it seemed like my whole career I couldn't find a studio to save my life. Like I couldn't find a good studio to save my life, and now I get the best sound I ever had recording myself. Me, my producer, another producer from Philly, they record me, and I get the best sound, but it's my studio, and it's just crazy, like, because people say it all the time, like, you get more stuff done. If you want stuff done right, you got to do it yourself, and that's really what it is.
Well.
Like, I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, speak on it. You better speak on it. Yes. Because, I mean, granted, there are people out there that are trustworthy, but sometimes you definitely have to jump in the passenger seat, in the driver's seat, and drive yourself where you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel you on that one. Yes, yes. Okay, so where do you see
yourself? Medical, what is the medical scare? How did it affect your career? I know you said you came out sounding a lot better, but did it affect you in any other way?
When I had the callus on my vocal cord, I could barely talk. Like it was just really, really raspy. Like it's been times that I'd be trying to speak and won't nothing come out. Like that was just it. I had to get rid of it because either way, like at one point I wasn't even about to do music anymore, so I wasn't really caring. But then it was just getting bad, so I just I had to do something, and like it's definitely an improvement. I'm glad I did it because I couldn't believe how I was sounding. Like I was sounding terrible, and I was still recording at this time, sounding a mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, determination. You said I'm about to make these tracks. But hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. You did what you had to do, and you still soaring. So that's all that really matters, you know.
Well, it lets you know that you're not a fly by night type of artist. So kudos to you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Hopefully. Hopefully I'll be on like my second Grammy. I really want to win a Grammy, like really bad.
Okay. Speak on it. You gotta definitely put it out there into existence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. If you could work with any artist that is dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I want to work with Jay-Z.
Okay.
Like, because even though Tupac is my favorite rapper, I think Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time. And I just feel like I compliment him on the track. You feel me? Like, I definitely want to work with Jay-Z.
Okay. Not only that, Jay-Z, I mean, he's an excellent businessman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, granted, if you don't like his style of rap, you can't do nothing but respect his business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's winning in the world.
Definitely.
So I feel you. I want to work with Jay-Z too. Look, let me put that on out there. Throw my name over in the hat. Yes, sir.
For real, though.
Okay. Hey, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Speak on it because you never know. You might stumble across this and hear it, and it's on and popping from there, right? Okay. So, right now, currently, what is your favorite song of yours? Like, your favorite track that you've done?
It's always the last thing I did. And the last song I did was a song called Not Perfect featuring a Philadelphia R&B singer named Kalia Williams. Like, the song just crazy to me. Like, we did our thing on there. Like, it's going to be on my mixtape, which actually drops on Tuesday. It's actually my first project, to be keep it real. It's my first project ever, and I'm a hype about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, first project normally is the one because you you get to push it and put it out there and watch it fly. So, yeah, and that's awesome. That's real awesome.
So when you drop it, where are you going to put it on?
It's going to be on that Piff for right now, and then we're going to get the hard copies. When we get the hard copies, they're going to have bonus songs on them.
Okay.
So right now, this is going to be available for free on that Piff.
Okay. So I have a question about the tour that you did, the high school tour. How was that? Like, what type of feelings did you get from doing that?
It was fun. Like, it was definitely a fun experience. Like, it was my first time performing, like, and I had a good time. Like, and people responded well. Like, it was nice. It was a great experience.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, it's unfortunate that you were with the entertainment group and they ended up falling through, but at least you're still pushing and making things happen for yourself. Okay, Nikita, did you have any questions, any last questions?
Yes, just leading off of the last statement of that the tour was your first time performing and then you were signed. What tips do you wish you had before signing and what tips do you wish you had after signing on up for a label and starting your tour that you could share with our audience?
Before you sign anything, please, like, with these independent labels, they're going to try to make it seem like you can't move without them. Like you need them. Mm-hmm. And they try to make it seem like they got your best interest at heart. But like a lot of times, like in some cases they will, but a lot of times they're independent because they want to get all the money for themselves and not have to do a lot of breakdowns. A situation that happened at the label that I was with, they did our press kit, which is like our bios, our photos, and our music, and they sent them to major labels, and they called. They were interested, but because they weren't interested in the whole label, they wouldn't let them take the people that they wanted.
It left a sour taste in my mouth
about working with people. Like now, I got a new manager named Rasul West. And I got my team rock with me, and we do it on our own. It's not mean too many outsiders. Like we it's another group called Thoroughbred Bangers. We work with them, and we just can't keep too many hands in the fold because everybody don't have your best interest in heart. So just be careful.
Right.
Well, that's good. Right. Yes. Sorry about the experience, but it's a learning lesson to us all.
Yes, it is.
Definitely.
Yes, for sharing that knowledge on the people, especially other up-and-coming artists, you know, I mean, people need to know that because, like, I would have never thought that. Like, I would have thought if you were part of an independent label, if a better opportunity came, they'd let you go. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's what I would have thought, too. Like, and then on top of that, I was still in high school at the time. So they was telling me, like, oh, this is supposed to be like a learning experience, like some type of school. Like, they were supposed to be teaching me the business. But they started seeing the value in the artists that they had. So it was like they want to get all the money that they can get. And it was just crazy, man. It was just a horrible experience, man. It was just horrible.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Don't get me wrong. Everybody there wasn't a bad person. Like Eleanor Whitehead, she was a very nice woman. And Nicole Mayo, it was a lot of good people there. It just got real shady towards the end, and it just didn't work out.
Right.
And I think that people just should consider the contracts in which they're signing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So make sure you get a good lawyer that's looking out for your interest because the label will always look out for their interest.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the contract that they made me sign is I gave up 99% of everything.
What?
I was giving up 99%
of everything. Wait a minute. You said made you sign.
Yeah, because I didn't know no better. I'm thinking I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Like, but I was losing everything. Yes, they took crazy advantage of me. But I learned a lot though, because I learned my lesson. I know not to give up my royalties. I know not to just sign stuff over. And it was like when I would write a song, people want to be put down as a co-writer on the song and things of that nature. I would have to copyright everything I did along with somebody else when it was my material. It was just crazy.
Oh my. They were getting over.
Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you got early on in the game, so that way you don't have to be, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
exactly.
It's not a good, positive thing, but at least you got that learning experience before any money was ever involved. That's probably why they didn't make it. I'm not trying to be funny, but when you try to do dirty to people, you know what I'm saying? Dirty happens to you sometimes. So, and people show their true colors, too, when the dollar sign becomes involved.
And then on top of that, they was trying to change my whole style. Like, and they was trying to change what I did. Like, because when I came in, they told me that they was looking for one thing, and I was giving that to them. And then they was trying to change it into something totally different. Like, because I'm a lyrical rapper. Like, my bread and butter is the fact that I can actually rap. So what they were wanting, because they felt like this would get faster money at the time, they would want us to do 8-bar verses that were just mostly punchlines and then just keep saying the hook. And it's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not about to do that. That's not how I rap. Like, it's like, it was just a wild experience. Like, I learned a lot, man. I never fall in that hole again. That's my word.
Okay, I heard that. Well, I mean, hey, you know, what don't kill us make us stronger. And when people try to shite you, it make you just a better business person, because you can see the, excuse my French, but you can see the bullshit coming miles away. Like, that don't look right. That don't smell right. No, thank you.
Let me ask you a question, though, because I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of experience based off of that unfortunate situation, but can you tell one fun memory you've had from your production? Well, just in general, just from your journey in the musical industry, what has been one of the best or funnest moments that you've had, and why?
It was a lot. Like, I was on the radio in Philly. I freestyle on the radio. That was something that I always wanted to do for a long time. And we did a song for Barack Obama, and they played it. Yeah, they played the song, and it was a lot. It was a lot. Like, I definitely had some good times, like, doing music. Like, I love performing. Like, it's a lot. Like, I love to write. I love to record. I love to have people enjoy my music. You know what I mean? So that's the highlight of my career so far.
Great. Okay. So if I am a listener and I am curious to know, where can I find your music, what are some of the sites that you are currently on?
You can find me on YouTube. Just type in Young Nah. That's YOUNGNAH. Reverb Nation, Young Nah. SoundCloud, Young Nah. Google, Young Nah. Facebook, Young Nah. Everywhere. Twitter.
SoundCloud, Young Nah. Facebook, Young Nah.
They can follow me on Twitter, too. Twitter and Instagram at Young Nah 267. You can actually kick me, too. Like, I ain't hard to find. You can hit me on Kick, YoungNah267. I'm everywhere.
Okay. Is there any shout-outs, any hellos you want to say before we get into your song here?
I want to give a shout-out to my whole team rock with me. These are on the tracks, are Noble, Killer, Heen, Rasul West, Karan, the whole Grind Hard Radio family, J Chronicles, Virginia Supernova Slim, Dangerous Tactics, is everybody, and everybody who's supporting me, and everybody who's rocking with me, and that mixtape will be here on Tuesday, and it is fire. Y'all going to love it, so get ready for it.
Y'all heard him. Get ready for it. Boom, okay. And, again, you can find him on Facebook, Young Nye, Twitter, Young Nye.
Uh-huh.
You can kick him, Young Nye. Oh. Okay, so we about to get off into this, okay? Young Nye, call to God. Here we go, D.I., we're ending up Saturday. Let's get it.
So we finna do some grown-up shit, and I know you're gonna love it.
Attention all shoenistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back on the D-Hour Indie Up Saturday show. This is your girl, Ray Cole, holding it down with me for the evening. Is my cousin, the beautiful Nikita, the Black Russian. And
thank you,
yes,
thank you, thank you for having
no
me.
No problem. No, thank you for joining me. See how that works?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so it's topic time, right? So the next topic is, here we go. Okay, let me clear my throat. Hold on. And pat the back of my head for this one. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yes, 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 what we're talking about.
We are talking about Clippers owner Donald Sterling.
Oh,
I don't want black people at my games.
Oh.
Okay. Now, my thing is, this ain't like the NBA, like 75% Negro. I mean, I'm just...
as of last year, it was 76.3%, but, you know, whatever.
Who's being exact here? We're just rounding, guesstimating, you know. But this
not
is the article.
To the NBA report card, but what do we know?
Yeah, you know. But anyways, okay. L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling, who is reportedly known for his racist antics against black people, was recently caught on tape forbidding his girlfriend, by the way, who is a lot younger than he is because he looked like an old baseball glove, and she's also like black and Mexican, okay, forbidding his girlfriend from publicly associating with black people after she posted an Instagram photo of herself with Magic Johnson. L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling told his girlfriend he does not want her bringing black people to his games, including Magic Johnson, and it's all on tape. TMZ Sports has obtained the audio of Sterling making the racist declaration during a heated argument on April 9th with his girlfriend, V. Stefano, after she posted a photo on Instagram posing with Magic. Sterling rails on Stefano, who ironically is black and Mexican, like I just said, for putting herself out in the public with a black person. She has since taken down the photo. Some of the comments that he made to her is, you can sleep with black people. You can bring them in. You can do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote in on that and not to bring them to my games. Don't put him, talking about Magic Johnson, on the Instagram for the world to see or for the world to have to see so they can call me, and don't bring him to my games. Sterling has a documented history of allegedly racist behavior. He's been sued twice by the federal government for allegedly refusing to rent apartments to blacks and Latinos. Sterling has been separated from his wife, Shelly, for years. She remains a key player in running the team, and sources tell us she is mortified by Sterling's comments. We shall overcome. Then we already marched on Washington. Like, what the deuce? What the hell? Hello, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, granted, personally, when I hear people saying crap like this, it's laughable to me because it's just kind of like, you know, like your generation of craziness. Hopefully y'all about to die out. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, most people that I surround myself with don't think that way. But it's just, for you to say all that stuff knowing that the NBA is pretty much built up of black men, you know what I'm saying? Like, how can you say don't bring a black person to the game? It ain't nothing but black people there on the court. Like, I mean, what?
Don't bring them to the game and don't do anything with them in public.
I know, what is this, 1920? You know what I'm saying? Like, 1940? Like, we are in the 2014, okay? And this person is saying stuff that somebody out the 60s, 50s would be muttering. You know what I'm saying? Don't bring them in public, like, sir, bye. You know what I'm saying? Like, pick one of these seats in this arena and sit your pale ass in it, okay? Just sit there. And then the girl, I mean, she looks like she's probably in her early 20s. She doesn't look any older than 25. I'd be surprised if she was. He looks every bit of crusty. Okay, of ancient.
Stale bread.
Yes, on the brink of death. Like, hey. you even still get it up? You know what I'm saying? Like, you chasing that young cootie tang. And then out of that, for her to be black and Mexican and for you to say don't bring black people, apparently it has to be some type of deep-seated issues there with black people because you're dating somebody that's mixed with black. You get what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maybe he didn't know that about her, but, you know, what's really good, old crusty man? Like, I mean, what's really eating you about black people? You know? Like, what is it?
Should I answer that question?
Please do. Please do, because I need to know, okay?
What is crusty ass?
Verbal opinion, and I don't know either one of them as a disclaimer. But it was an interesting take. If you listen to it, it's 9 minutes, 27 seconds from TMZ. The first question I have is, why the hell did she record it? But on the other hand, I'm thankful that she recorded
Blackmail.
It. But she put it out there in the public forum, so I don't know who's pulling strings behind. TMZ has a hookup, but something was going on for her to have that conversation. So she must have already knew his antics. And
well, not only that, something said his wife was suing her. You know, because in certain states, if you are found guilty of breaking up a marriage, they can sue you. You know what I'm saying? A person, significant other, can sue you for breaking up their union. If you know, like if you cheat or something like that. So maybe what it was, hey, look, your wife's suing me. You ain't going, she's not going to stop. So, hey, well, I guess I got to get the money from somebody.
Alienation.
Might well be you.
It's called alienation of affection. Fantasia knows about it. Sorry, Fantasia, I'm sorry. Then you go through the lawsuit about it. It's unfortunate.
Yes.
It's an antiquated law, but if it's still on the books, I guess you can still sue, but I don't know, because they also said that they have been separated for lots of years, so who knows?
Well, yeah.
Maybe the wife.
Yeah. She needs to let that go to you.
Well, that's true, but if they haven't fully divorced, then maybe it is a playing card for her. So in order to have her take that out, you know, the public, and to reduce that charge, you may have to ante up a little bit. So I can kind of see it both ways. So
that's just silliness to me.
Well, that's true. It's true. But I guess, you know, when it comes to the playing card of divorce, people get down and dirty.
Because they roll so through the mud like, I'm about to mess you up, sir.
You're going down. Somebody has to go down, I guess. I don't know. The divorce is going down.
How come you just can't end as friends if y'all been separated for all those for years? Okay, you should be over some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, I just get over it. Keep it moving. Keep it trucking. Keep on living your life. Like, why keep playing cat and mouse with each other? That's what I don't get. Just let it ride. You know, you got her. I'm going to get him and keep, probably, but it did say she was still, what? Or did you say that or did I read it? I don't know, but somewhere along
you
this conversation
it.
Was brought up. Okay, yeah, that she was still part owner of the team, so maybe what it is maybe she just won't sell it. Maybe that's what the game is, you know what I'm saying? Since she won't
well,
sell, she don't mess with her.
Well, that this model isn't in cahoots with the wife, okay?
Well, because
when you think about it, for him to make these statements, isn't that unethical? Especially when you're an owner of a team. Especially when your team is a public entity, and your fans are part of that, you know, racial group or according to him, it's a cultural thing versus a racism thing, which, you know, I don't know how
you try
to spin it. Well, you know, a culture, people can kind of simulate, and you have similarities when it gets to racism. That's supposedly, and I say supposedly, a biological makeup where you can't change. But a cultural thing, you can kind of, when you get into different environments, different situations, you can kind of simulate, because old girl, the young girl, assimilated with him, obviously he has some type of feelings because he stayed on the phone trying to argue the point and talk crazy to her. I'm not quite sure.
You know, I didn't even listen to it. I was like, I don't want to hear it because I get so tired of crusty old people talking that racism gibberish. You know, I mean, hope he don't seem like the type of person that's going to come out and try to apologize with it. I can respect that. You said it, you said it, you meant it, you meant it. And, you know, don't try to apologize now because everybody know you are, you know, a racist. But my thing, my question is this. How could you let them old balls?
Shriveled up wrinkles. Okay.
Wrinkled so raisins. No, I don't want it. Get away from me. Help. Right.
Wait a minute. Okay, moving on. But the thing is, when you asked about that, how can somebody allow someone to state that or be around them, you have to take into consideration just this week, the Supreme Court, 6-2, voted against affirmative action. I mean,
well,
so it's not just him. That's on the entertainment sports arena. But when you talk about society as a whole and civil rights as far as what we fought for since 1965, all of that is disintegrating. Unfortunately, you know, we're looking at a owner of a basketball team that has predominantly, you know, African-American players, but our society as a whole has not really supported the African-American minority movement that the 1965 affirmative action, you know, was supposed to support. And we're supposed to give us the right to, and it's unfortunate. Coming from California, 1996, that's where it all kind of started from. With, what's his name? Oh, my goodness. I can't even think of his name.
Clarence. Is it Clarence?
No, he was on the Supreme Court. Oh, it'll come to me. It was someone else who put in that he was a regent for the University of California. It'll come to me. Anyways, Ward Connerly.
I was about to Google him, girl. I was on my way to Google. I'm like, let me type this in right quick so we can see.
Yes, he got it started in. Since 1996, you know, seven other states have implemented other affirmative action bans and actions against, you know, protected groups. And it just was this Michigan case, even though it's for college admissions, it's still going to have long stretching ramifications. So I think this owner of the LA Clippers is just, he's just a face of what people know to be true, that minorities don't have an equal playing field. It doesn't matter what they do, how they do it, people don't want to associate with him. And this is just a classic example. Unfortunately, he did it at a bad time. But I do hope that the NBA takes quick and strong actions against them, because they do it against players. When they do something, they suspend them, they fine them heavily. You know, I think the players' associations need to take care of fining him, because there's people that work for him. And I think people should, I don't know how they feel about Jesse Jackson, but he has a response to this particular situation on YouTube.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. When you go, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. Let me
play
my own battle.
I did kind of lead in while asking. I know, but he does make a valid point that, you know, maybe people should not let this slide as easily as other things. It should be taken into consideration. I'm not saying that everything he says is right or wrong, just like what we do and say isn't always right and isn't always wrong. It's just something to consider as alternatives.
I agree.
Okay.
Jesse, don't get me wrong. I don't want to beat Jesse upside the head or Al Sharpton. Well, Al Sharpton, definitely, if I'm in some racist trouble, please, because it's just like once he steps on the scene, nobody takes the what's going on serious anymore. Like, I hate to say that. That's my opinion. It don't mean nothing outside these four walls. in which I live, but that's just my opinion and my observation of him. But I do want to say some of the quotes that the guy, that Mr. Sterling, has been quoted saying, you know, is, I want to know why you think you can coach these niggers, is what he said to someone. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was to a potential coach in 1983. Then is another quote he has, that's because all of all the blacks in the building, they smell. They are not clean. This was his sworn testimony to a property supervisor in 2002. And another quote, and it's because of all the Mexicans that they sit around and smoke and drink all day. Okay, let's go down. He don't like nobody. Okay, let's see here. He says, I'm offering a lot of money for a poor black kid. This was on his negotiations to sign Danny Manning back in 1988. He said this in David Stern's presence. I don't have to spend any more money on them. They will take whatever conditions I give them, and they will still pay the rent on Koreans. This is his sworn testimony. Let's see if this is another interesting interesting one down here.
Oh, so he's a slumlord. Was that the case?
Yeah, that
he doesn't
have
to do anything else? Is they're going to pay the rent regardless?
Yes, not only is he a racist, but he is an asshole. In 2011, he refused to cover a Clippers assistant coach prostate cancer treatment, forcing NBA players to pay for it. Players complained Sterling brought women into the locker room while they were showering and told them to look at those beautiful black bodies. that sounds like something our family got, that old pervert. That
you
always tries to
get people.
Look at that water drizzling all over your body. Look at ass. Okay. One more, then we're going to spin a record and get ready for the next interview. But then he says, this is about sexual harassment. He says, oh, and there's all the sexual harassment lawsuits, and Sterling's demands that women let him put it in or suck on it. And he says,
okay,
when you pay a woman for sex, you are not together with her. You're paying her for a few moments to use her body for sex. It is clear. It is clear. So, yeah, he's just out of it. He's a lost cause. He's old. He ain't going to change.
Let all the Magic Johnsons of the world recognize that no matter what you do, how much money you make, you are still fighting against the grain, and
yes,
that's how
are.
It is. Because the girl says she didn't even know him personally. She just admired him. So this was like an unnecessary branch. But, you know, people's true colors, what's done in dark will come to the light.
And what Johnny Cash say, you can run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Like, I mean, that's what happens to him. You think he's doing this stuff in the dark. You don't even know. Your little Latina, she got some niggers up in her. So you talking all this stuff about black people to somebody that is of the black race. Like, how crazy can you be? See, that's that dementia kicking in.
What the audience think, is this just a moronic statement, or is it unethical, or is it just a sign of the times because he's old and crusty and that's just how he lived and we shouldn't worry about it? I'm curious to see.
I think it's all of it.
Me
personally, I think it's all of it. He's an old moron as crusty. And chasing that young booty, and probably what happened was she probably stopped putting it on him. So he said, I'm just going to say some craziness to her. But this, she had her device on her and recorded, yo, crusty ass, sir. That's what happened to you. See, you know what, I'm done lecturing him. He's too old for a lecture. It is what it is at this point in time in his life. So, end scene, moving on, The Hour Network, Indie Up Saturday. We're going to play another record, and hopefully we'll be getting in with our last interview. So we got some Dot Richie, The Weeknd. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Everything I ever learned, yeah, I learned from the streets. From the streets, yeah. Only teaching that I ever had was the concrete. Yeah, but you care for my lifestyle, and make you better learn quick. Otherwise, you just a limp in the light.
Yes. That was a nice little cut. Yeah, Carolina Blue, Street Educator. Yes.
I was good with it.
You say right, left, right cheek, butt cheek, left cheek, whatever. Okay, tripping. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. Okay. Well, our second interview for the evening, she called in earlier, but she might be running just a tad bit behind now. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the next topic. Hopefully she calls in within the next 10 minutes. If not, we're going to have to reschedule it because, yeah. Anyway, so, okay. So, you know, let's see, what topic do we want to talk about? We have the whole Pebbles suing Vimo, VH1, or somebody, or we
Viacom.
Ah, thank you. I don't want to mix up no names. Our therapist says black men turn gay because they're raised by single moms. Which one do you want to tackle?
I'm going to let you take the lead on that because both of them are emotional topics.
Very juicy, very thought-provoking topics. Okay, well,
I think the one with Pebbles would relate to the audience since, you know, up-and-coming artists probably would want to know how a manager in her position should or should not be portrayed.
Yeah.
With Young Nod, I think he really played us up on something. So what do you think about the Pebble situation and the lawsuit? Because I kind of have questions on why she's doing it now. Isn't her daughter trying to get her own sitcom? And, you know,
and possibly
like jaded because Chili was kind of doing some things, allegedly, of course, to her
husband.
Like, lots of artists get into shady contracts, and because she was on the winning end, should those artists not say anything? I don't know. The last question I have is, you know, they were young women in the industry. Pebbles had also been an artist as well as a representative of artists, and I don't know, did she take advantage or was she just, you know, trying to break them in and, you know, being hard-nosed and giving them the school of hard knocks, and then when they really got to an elevated level with their what was it, the Crazy Sexy Cool album? Yes, their sophomore album. Oh, my goodness. I love that album. But I don't know if their expectations were for it to blow up as big as it did. And I guess Pebbles could have renegotiated.
They didn't think they were going to make it.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they said they didn't think that they were going to make it, so that's why they didn't invest much into the project. But I'm going to have to swing things around because our second interview just actually called in, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. Yes. Maybe we'll save this topic for next Saturday.
Yes, ma'am.
But, okay, here we go. Okay, so it takes a special artist to fuse elements of varying genres and eras into a winning formula. Taking a bit of the old and a bit of the new to create a fresh sound requires great skill and care. This is the crux of Doseyism. I'm sorry. On her forthcoming sophomore album, So Much Love, Nigerian-born, Los Angeles-based singer Doye, pronounced Doye, pays homage to the mellow blend of silk and soul made iconic by artists such as Sade, Diana Reeves, Shantae Moore, Regina Bell, and Rochelle Pharrell.
Yay.
Featuring the musical prowess of the fellow Nigerian and multi-platinum producer Dapo, I'm going to mess his last name up, Taramaro, John Legend, Justin Bieber, Toni Braxton, Grammy-nominated multi-platinum British songwriter Terry Shattuck, Pointer Sisters Diana Ross. These are the people that they work with, I'm sorry. Guitarist producer Chris Scholler. He's worked with Beyonce, Mariah Carey, Kanye West. J.R. Houston's work with your girl, Jill Scott Music, and Layla Hathaway,
yes.
And Grammy-nominated jazz keyboardist, producer Felipe Sasse. He's worked with Chaka Khan and Al Jarreau. So Much Love is a breathtaking tour de force that adeptly revisits the sound of early 90s urban adult contemporary radio with a unique spin. Laced with Doye's smoldering vocals and seasoned with elements of jazz, R&B, and a dash of spicy Afrobeat, it goes without saying that So Much Love is destined to be one of the more feted independent releases of 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm D-hour welcoming to Ms. Doye. let me give you another clap. Press the wrong button. How are you doing this evening? Sorry about that.
I'm beautiful. How are you? Oh, that's so cool.
Well, I'm trying to hit the clap and the boo button. I'm like, wait a minute, how do you stop this? Wait. Okay, but I want to thank you for calling in and coming on to the show with us this evening.
Yes,
oh, you're welcome.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure. It's really my pleasure.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and dive right over into this. Can you tell us about your name and what it means or represents to you?
Wow, my name is pronounced Doye, and as you said, I'm originally from Nigeria. That's in West Africa,
okay.
And
yay,
the name
West
Doye.
Africa, love it.
Well, the name Doye, it's not a makeup name. It's an indigenous Nigerian name from the riverine area of Nigeria. My parents are originally from the riverine area. When I say riverine, they're, you know, surrounded with water, so they call them the riverine people.
Oh, okay.
And Doye means as I want it, that's the way it's going to be. So that's
strong name. Yes. Let the river flow. Yes.
Yes, powerful name. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go over to my next question. Okay, what influences have you had with your music, or like what influences you when you're making your music?
I think my biggest influence is life.
Okay.
You know, just living life. Because I write my stuff, so I have to feel it, I have to experience it,
right.
I have to see other people experience it, you know, in order to be, inspired to write about it. So, you know, I'm very much in tune with life. You know, life is the best teacher, and I try to be, you know, the child of life, you know, and just absorb everything around me, you know. There's so much to learn daily.
Yes.
My biggest influence, you know, life itself, you know, just watching people live and watch myself live day by day. And, and out of it.
Yes. Life is one of the best teachers and one of the best things to pull inspiration from, because, I mean, it's just so much that goes on. You know, that you can relate. There's so much stuff that's relatable just in, you know, everyday life. Yes. Okay. So what projects are you currently working on?
Gee, I just released this project. See, everyone is asking me that question. I just released it in February of this year, you know, February 11th to be exact. But, you know, it's so crazy. Some of the producers that I worked with on this last album, they're already reaching out to me and say, are you inspired to do more work? And I'm like, gee, you know, give me a little break here, but I am.
You say enough already.
I like it because that means they are inspired to want to work with me again, you know.
Yes.
So I'm a songwriter. I'm an artist. And so it's amazing how
even titles coming to my head. It's like, where is this coming from? I'm trying to do this album, but it just comes naturally. So when it comes, I write things down. So I guess I'm collecting, you know, I'm collecting thoughts, I'm collecting materials for the next project. You know, when it's coming out, I don't want to say, and I can't say, but, you know, it's definitely an ongoing thing for me, as you can see.
Yes, like you said, you are a hot commodity, girl. They want you. If they coming at you, you just got done with one thing, and now they back knocking on your door.
What is it like to be a singer? Could you share with our audience what it's like to be in your position as a singer?
Oh, gee, in what perspective? Because that's a broad question. So narrow
it down. It is a very broad question in which you could pick any topic, but if you would like me to narrow it, it sounds like people are already well sought after. So what is that feeling when you're making a product and people are responding? What does it feel like to be in that position?
Well, honestly, it does feel good. However,
yeah, I can believe
it. You know, it's because you've done good work. That's the only way to look at it. If you've done good work, then people want to work with you. And if you work well with people and you know your stuff, you know, you do your portion of the work, you know.
Right.
And you have, you know, good people relationship. People want to work with you. So, you know, I guess that's where all of that is coming from. You know, when I work with people, of course I give my best and I'm open for decisions and anyone that want to give me any advice or anything, but I expect them to give their best as well. I'm very hard on that one, but in a respectful manner, of course, you know.
How did other people react when you became a singer? Were they as open and willing to work with you? What was some of the obstacles maybe you faced or maybe the positive situation you faced when you were becoming a singer?
Well, you know, you have to prove yourself. You got to prove not just to yourself but to the people you want to work with that you are capable of handling the task and, you know, you're willing to do the work.
Right.
And I think that helped me a lot because I'm an independent artist. I really don't have, I don't have too many voices that speaks on my behalf. I do, I wear, you know, several hats. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. And so I always have to, you know, maintain a positive attitude and at the same time make people understand that I am here to stay. I am here to do the work. So, you know, let's get on board, you know, with things. So, you know, people like that. They respect that. When they see that this is a dream of yours that you want to forge. Yeah. You know, it's one thing talking about it, and it's another thing talking about it and doing it. You know, and people like
People like to see you doing, like, it's like you said, if you all you ever do is talk, after a while, people are going to stop listening. But if they see you
you're making moves. And, you know, the serious musicians or producers or whoever out there, they only want to deal with the serious ones. They don't want to be, you know, people that are just talking. It's like the business is too competitive for that nonsense. You know, you look that nonsense out on the street. You really want to work? Come in, you work.
Yeah, no, that's right. Say, don't waste our time. If you're not here to work, we will find somebody else.
No, and they can easily spot, you know, the foolish ones. Trust me, they can.
Right.
They can easily spot the ones that are not serious and, you know, compared to the ones that are determined and serious and willing to do the work.
Well, we know you're willing to do the work and you're serious because you have some heavy hitters on your project. So kudos to you. Yes.
Yes.
I'm very, very grateful.
Yes.
Well, it goes back to what we're saying, you know. When I reached out to these people, I had to bring my best up front and say, this is what I want to do, you know. And,
right.
you know, they're in a position where they can say, I don't want to be bothered with this. Or, you know, I like it. I'm inspired. I want to be part of it. And
right.
that's where I was
right.
to get to give them something whereby they'll be inspired to want to do it. Not necessarily for the money. Of course, they'll be paid for their work, but they have to be inspired.
Right. Well, you're already
right
about that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yes.
they don't want to be, but they get a lot of artists, you know, established artists out there that reaches out to them daily.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you want to play ball with those big cats. You gotta know how to play ball with the big cats. Just don't, you know, come around and bring stupid stuff to them. It's like, well, what is this nonsense?
You say, get it away from me. Throw it in the trash. Out the door it goes. I heard that. Okay. So I have a question. If you could change anything about your profession, what would it be and why? And also, what advice can you give to other up-and-coming singers, songwriters about the business?
If I could change anything, what will it be? Oh, gee, that's a tough one. I have to really think about that. That's a tough question. But, you know, let's go to the advice first, you know.
Okay.
And this is advice to, I don't know, people that are up and coming and trying to get into the business. For an independent artist, you've got to be willing to wear several hats.
Okay.
Several hats. And you have to have the right attitude. You have to... you have to know yourself. You have to know your brand. I don't know if I'm making myself clear.
Yes,
you have to know who you are.
We understand.
Yeah, you have to know who you are as an artist because you are a product. I don't
yes.
think a lot of artists see themselves that way. You
yes.
are a product, and you have to be marketable. You have to be marketable as a brand. Otherwise, it's just going to sit on the shelf right there. It's not going to be touched. So you have to have a certain look for the kind of brand you are. You have to have a certain kind of style for the brand you are. You got to have a certain kind of musical style. I mean, you have to know who you are as an artist. And a lot of artists
okay.
don't take that responsibility, you know, to take time and separate themselves from who they are and know who they really are as an artist. Because who you are as an artist is different from who you are, you know, just lounging around
yeah,
at home.
Partner.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, they bring that, you know, person at home on stage or in the public. It's like, no, you keep that at home.
Right. We don't want to see Tori. We want to see Torrey. Okay.
Exactly. We want to see you on stage, matches, you know, not the one at home cooking or whatever the story is. So.
Oh, that's funny. So we don't want your regular self. We want them to be entertained, honey.
Yes,
that's the brand.
As a brand, they want to know who you
yes.
are as a brand. And you have
okay.
to always, you have to always up your ante. You always, you don't want to settle for less. You know,
right.
you want to give it your best. You know, at all time, anytime you do work, you give it your best. You know, because. You always want to sit down and say, who are the people that I'm competing with? When I say compete,
yes.
not in a negative way, but you are in a market field. When you are
yes.
an artist, you put your music amongst all the big names. That is the market field right there.
Right.
And so you will ask yourself, as a customer, will you buy that artist? Will you buy that product?
Right.
And if you say no, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, you're not upping your ante. So there's so much to, you know, do. As an independent artist, you want to take time to develop yourself first instead of looking
right.
for other people to develop you. I think that's one thing that I see a lot in independent artists. you make time to develop who you are, because the music business has changed, you know, drastically. People don't, they don't have much patience to want to develop artists.
Right.
Yeah. More. And so you.
Well, they don't even really want to put any money into anybody nowadays. Like,
no,
you have to come with the fan base.
You know, yes. Except they smell money in you. And that means you're marketable.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to develop yourself to get to a certain level for you to have a buzz going. And they'll be like, okay, I smell money, so let's talk. Otherwise, you're wasting time.
So I see the dollar sign potential.
Yes, because, you
it
know,
is,
it is what it is. You know, when you're an artist, it is for business. It's
right.
Yes, you know, it is art, and so emotions it put into it. That's what you do when you get on stage. That's what you do when you're recording the album. But
right.
ultimately, it's about business. It's about money. And people don't want to talk about that, especially the artists. Like, no, you know, I'm an artist. Well, you gotta think about it that way, you know, to see where they're coming from.
You made some really valid points as far as branding as an artist, as far as keeping yourself marketable, knowing who your competition is and the genre you're in, as well as the development as an artist. And finally, just the business versus the creativity. So my question is, how do you keep your balance between business versus being creative and staying relevant in today's market?
I psych myself daily, I tell you this, and put myself as the customer. Because I'm already the artist. No, for real, I'm already the artist. So I psych myself and put myself as the third person. I don't know her. So, you know, I'm seeing her for the first time and seeing if she's eye-catchy and see if she's doing what I would like.
Okay.
It may not necessarily mean, it may not necessarily be the kind of music I like, but when I listen to it, I want to hear quality. I want to see, oh, she did something right. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
The way I view it every day, you know, to make sure, okay, I think I'm still out there. I think I still, you know, I still got what it takes, you know. Otherwise,
right.
You'll be fooling yourself. You've got to be able to know what's out there and if you stand a chance to swim in this deep, big ocean. You have to know that.
Okay.
You don't.
Well, I mean, you're definitely swimming because you got some big names. You know, the people that's on your project. I mean, those are some really big names. You know, so
I'm
you're definitely
grateful.
Swimming.
<I'm>
yes. Yes. But we're going to change up the interview here just a little bit because it's getting closer to that time. We're about to say night-night to the world. So I got just a couple of questions, and then we're going to spin your record for everyone to hear. How can interested parties get in contact with you? Like, what social sites are you on, or what's the best way to get in contact with you?
You could just type my name. I'm everywhere, you know. Just type Doye, D as in David, O-U-Y-E, and then a search engine, and all my stuff will pop up.
Okay, Google her, honey. Yes, okay. Yes, I heard that. Okay, and was there any shout-outs that you wanted to give, anybody that you wanted to say hello or give a reasonable mention to?
I just want to say, you know, thank you to everyone who believes in my music, my fans, my followers, you know, anyone out there that that gives me a platform, anyone out there that supports my artistry. I appreciate every one of them. You know, that's my shout-out.
A true artist statement indeed, honey. Yes, that's very, very...
Yeah.
Smooth, yes.
All the radio stations, all the outlets, all the venues, everything, anyone, you know, that says Doye, I've got a love for them, you know, because they make me valid.
Okay. Okay. That's sweet. I don't know even know what to say. That's really nice statement or closing statement. Okay. Well, I want to say on behalf of the D Hour Network, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I wish you the best of luck in all your endeavors. And keep swimming, girl. Just keep on swimming, honey. Yes, okay. And yes. So we're going to go ahead and
thank you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to come to your show. Really.
Oh, no, thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes. Great interview. Thank you.
Very enlightening. Yes, this was a very enlightening interview. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get this track rolling. It's called Till Morning Comes. Doye, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Indie of Saturday.
Thank you. sound, reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs, so yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend, and 10 minutes later, the same song spins. It's the D-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship, the hottest station show. I love the underground artists. Yeah.